think it was based on several factors, most of which came out of the a meeting we had in Joburg at the end of August. The decision was mostly related to three factors. One was the ongoing concerns we had about the ability of the KP to respond effectively to situations where diamonds are fueling armed violence and gross human rights violations. And we also remain particularly concerned that the plenary would be likely end, you know, all meaningful oversights of Morangay in Zimbabwe, despite ongoing and credible concerns about its compliance and cooperation with the KP in meeting its minimum standards. And finally, we're noting more reluctance within the KP to adopt the institutional reforms necessary for there to be to ensure robust and credible oversight of the rough diamond supply chain. Those are the three main reasons we did that.
So do you think this, in essence, will help force the Kimberley process to come together and deal with these issues, or it will be the breaking point?
Well, I think that the hope was that this would perhaps spur a moment of reflection on the part of KP participants about the importance of the Kimberley process, whether they want to maintain it. And if they do, to ask of themselves what are they prepared to do to maintain it? Because right now, I think the status quo is leading to paralysis and to a crisis in the KP, where it's not doing the most basic functions that it was created to do.
And looking at Zimbabwe in particular, where are we now in terms of Zimbabwe's disputed diamonds?
Zimbabwe's diamonds continue to be, despite the controversial decision of the chair, which did not receive unanimous support or consensus support in June, they continue to be considered to be illegally traded unless the KP decides otherwise. So South Africa, I know, has unilaterally decided to accept Morangay diamonds. This is outside of the KP mandate and is illegal. So any trade that any country does of Morangay diamonds are illegal.
What would you say is the main problem that is blocking the Kimberley process from dealing with all these issues that you raise in terms of human rights abuses and diamonds in the whole diamond world?
Boy, there's a lot of reasons in there. I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that I think the KP is living in a bubble. I don't think they recognize the way in which other similar multi-stakeholder initiatives have innovated way above and beyond what the KP does. I think there's more of an aspirational market for people to deliver conflict-free minerals and diamonds than 10 years ago when the KP was started. I think a lot of countries and members of the industry or members in companies within the WDC have grown complacent. I think they figure that if you just keep on doing the same thing over and over again, that you'll keep up with the world, and that's not the way it works. You have violence and criminality that is constantly evolving and innovating and finding new ways to work, and it is outwitting the Kimberley process. The Kimberley process is working in a shadow of what it once was. You have people within the KP who will tell you with a straight face that the KP has nothing to do with human rights, despite the fact that the KP was created because of the violence that was being perpetrated by rebel movements in Angola and Sierra Leone and Liberia. That is what motivated people to act and to create the KP, and I think people have lost touch with that. So many countries, I think, have to take a moment between now and plenary and beyond plenary and really decide what kind of use is the KP to them. Is it something that they can see the economic benefits of it? Does it help to create a more robust civil society grouping within their countries? Does it create a more equitable resource than without a KP? And I think those are kind of questions that people have to ask of themselves.
Lastly, when and where is the next plenary session going to be held?
It's going to be held October 31st to November 3rd in Kinshasa.
So you guys don't want to be hosted by Mr. Yamba?
No. We were very clear in our email correspondence with the Kimberley Process Chair that this is not in any way a slight against Mr. Yamba or DRC. This is a more institutional and structural problem with the KP that has preceded DRC's chairmanship. And it is likely going to continue past DRC's chairmanship unless people within the KP begin some meaningful and very soul-searching kinds of thinking.